topic is about simple salvation. Is it a simple salvation, or is it a difficult process? A lot of times we'll hear people say things like, "Have you been saved, brother?" Well, you haven't. Well, let me just tell you how simple it is to be saved. Just do, and on it goes. Usually a fairly simple message about how to be saved. Some of us had tried those ideas and just weren't satisfied. We had more questions. We had a lot of questions. Questions like, well, what needs to be saved? John 3:17 shows that the people of the world need to be saved. People are made up of spirit, soul, and body, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians. The spirit is the life that's given from God. As we see in Genesis 2:7, that God gave Adam this breath of life, he breathed it into his nostrils. The soul is the individual or the entity that has the will to make the decisions towards life or towards death, as we see in Ezekiel 18:4, where it says that the soul that sinneth, it will die. So a soul is a choice maker that can choose life or death. The body can be either the physical body, as it talks about an earthen vessel that can house the soul, or a spiritual body that grows around the soul, made up of word and spirit. Now, this could be either the non-eternal body of sin that's made up of wrong words and evil spirit, and that needs to be crucified, as we read in Romans chapter 6. Or it can be the body of Christ, which is also made up of word and spirit, and that becomes our eternal house, as we can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, the question would be, out of these three parts, body, soul, and spirit, which one needs to be saved? Well, the Bible is pretty consistent on this. It says that the soul needs to be saved. Hebrews 10:39 says, "Of them that believe to the saving of the soul." James 1:21 says that we can receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. James 5:20 says that if someone does certain things, they can save a soul from death. 1 Peter 1:9 says we can receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. So all of those things show that the soul must be saved. The next question might be, saved from what? Well, in Matthew we read, "He shall save his people from their sins." In Luke we can read that we're saved from our enemies. In Acts we can read that we need to save ourselves from this untoward generation. In Romans we find that we can be saved from wrath. In Hebrews, we read that God was able to save Jesus from death. And again in James, back to the same scripture that we had just a few minutes ago, we read that we can save our soul from death, showing that a soul can die. It can go out of existence. Well, saved from sins means saved from death, since the wages of sin is death. And that would be death to the soul. As we already had in Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it will die. And in Romans it says, the wages of sin is death. So that shows that the soul can actually die if we continue in sin. The enemy, of course, is the devil. And it's the devil that has the power of death. God's wrath or anger is against all ungodliness, wherever it may be. We can be saved from God's anger towards evil by our repentance and our love of the truth. We don't want to be part of that untoward generation. Untoward just means perverse, because they don't love the truth, and that ends up causing them death. Rather, we want to believe the truth to the saving of the soul, as it says in Hebrews 10. Well, what do we have to do in order to be saved? That's a common question. And we have many, many biblical answers. To be saved, we need to endure unto the end, in Matthew. Also in Mark, we need to lose our life for Christ's sake and the sake of the Gospels. Mark also tells us that in order to be saved, we need to believe and be baptized. 2 Corinthians tells us we need to have a godly sorrow and we need to work repentance. Also, to save our soul, we're told in Romans that we need to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning to speak and teach out these words as we get them within our mind. And we also need to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we need to keep in memory what he preached, because it's words that can save our soul. We also need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In Philippians, we read that. In order to keep our soul from going out of existence, Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, we need to love the truth. And we need to sanctify our spirit and believe the truth. And we can be saved, according to 1 Timothy, if we take heed unto ourselves and the doctrine, and not just listen to them, but he goes on to say, continue in them. We're also told in Hebrews that we need to obey Christ in order to be saved. A person cannot be saved unless he or she looks for Christ, as it tells us in Hebrews. And also, James tells us, we need to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And, again, we need to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. So that shows a two-part process, getting rid of evil thoughts that have grown within our mind, and instead, engrafting God's word into our mind. You know, when we engraft a branch into a tree, it actually becomes a part of that tree. And that's what God wants us to do with his word, to engraft that into our mind and let that become our way of life. It also says in 1 Peter that in order to be saved, we need to have the answer of a good conscience toward God. And that will be the result if we cast out all evil from our mind and get God's word grown within our mind. We will have a good conscience. Jesus made it quite clear when he said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So in this set of scriptures that you could read in Mark 8, verses 34 through 37, and similar scriptures in Matthew 16, Jesus was saying that if someone wants to get Christ within their mind and actually be saved, they need to take up their cross. Now, this is not to say that we should wear a cross around our neck or to have one somewhere in our home, but this is saying we need to take up the message of the cross, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and also in Romans 6, that we need to crucify an old way of thinking. Because as Jesus went on to say, if we try to save our life, which would mean our old man life, we'll end up losing our soul. But if we will be willing to get rid of that old man life, the old way of thinking, the old way of doing things, for the sake of getting Christ within our mind and getting this gospel message in our mind, then we will be able to save our soul, and we will save our soul from death. So we might wonder, scripturally, what are things that we're saved by? 1 Timothy says we're saved by doctrine. Titus, by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Romans tells us that we're saved by Jesus' life. 2 Timothy says we're saved by the Holy Scriptures. Ephesians has a powerful scripture. It says by grace we're saved, but not just that alone. It's through faith. We must have faith in those scriptures, in grace, in order to be saved. 1 Thessalonians says we're saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews lets us know that ministering angels have a part in this. And James says that we're saved by converting from error to truth. 1 Peter says it's by the power of God, again, through faith. It also says in 1 Peter, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because in the same way that Christ resurrected, that is our promise to be able to resurrect out of an old man, dead in sin condition, into a new man alive in Christ. Luke tells us that we're saved by faith. Also, Luke says we're saved by knowledge. Romans, by hope. 1 Corinthians, by fire. Now that's an interesting scripture. Many people think fire is a bad thing, but we have many scriptural keys, one of which is in Jeremiah 23:29 that says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? So again, we're saved by fire because when we get God's word within our mind, it's going to help us see what is evil, what needs to go, what needs to be burned up, as it tells us that the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. It tells us in Acts that we're saved by the words of Peter, because where did he get his words? Well, he got his words from Jesus. And it tells us in the book of John that we're saved by the words of Jesus. And where did he get his words? Well, he said that the words that I speak, they're not mine. It's the Father that sent me. That's who's doing the work. Well, how do we know when we are saved? Is salvation the beginning event in our contact with Christ? Or is it the end result of a growth process? Well, again, let's not take just anyone's word on that. Let's see what the Scripture says. 1 Peter says that we can receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So it's not what happens at the beginning, but it is by working our faith and going through a growth process to become a full, mature, adult Christian. Matthew tells us, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." So this doesn't mean enduring to the end of a particularly long church service or enduring to the end of a battle that we might be going through. Again, it means enduring all the way to the end to become a full, mature, adult Christian. As it tells us in Ephesians, that we can grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It also tells us that we have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That, of course, is in Hebrews chapter 10. And that tells us that we need to have a patient process, again, growing through these deeper depths of spirit. Well, these scriptures have shown us something. It shows that we have a lot of spiritual work to do to be saved. People say you can't be saved by works. True, natural works, which consist of physical rituals and carnal acts, cannot save us. But much spiritual work must take place within our minds. If you have ever battled with a thought or a feeling, you know how much work that is to overcome. If you've ever tried to learn a foreign language, which is very much what God's Word is like to us when we first begin, you know how much work that is. It's a labor to let the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. Well, who saves us? God does, but we must each choose to be saved. God is not going to force salvation or eternal life on anyone. It is true that within ourselves, we do not start with the necessary ingredients for salvation. God is the one who's got all the goods, and he gets the goods, which would really be his word and his spirit, to us by way of Christ, the mediator. Christ doesn't have to deliver them all personally. He would be a very busy being if he did. But there are angels, and in fact, even other people that have Christ in them that can be God's messengers and ambassadors, as Paul said, that we are ambassadors for Christ. If we have the faith and meekness to receive the ingredients for salvation and then use them and keep them unperverted, we will be saved. As we said at the beginning, the word church is a ministry of understanding, and you can understand the Bible. In fact, we can even understand God in this life. When God reveals his deep mysteries to those who desire to become disciplined of him, it can happen. Jesus said, "It is given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." God revealed deep mysteries to believers in the early church by his Spirit. We cannot understand the things of God with the spirit of man, but we can understand the things of God by getting his deeper spirit and his words and understanding placed within our mind.